This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am one of your hosts, Chris Spangle. To my right is Greg Lenz.
Hello, everybody.
To my left is Gina Martinez.
Hello, hello.
Gina Martinez, the person who invited a stranger to my house to watch the show. Before we're sitting here, Gina's like, hey, by the way, Josh is showing up with enchiladas. Okay, who's Josh? I don't know. Do you know him? No? Well, then who'd you invite over to the house?
The guy with enchiladas.
Yeah, that is apparently all it takes to get into my house is enchiladas. So Josh has listened for almost a year now, at least. So it was nice to get to meet him, and we only kid. Feel free to drop by any week.
Absolutely, maybe absolutely.
Maybe burritos next time.
Yes.
you couldn't have brought dessert?
Right.
Really? It was so nice. He even brought like plates and sour cream, and it's very thoughtful.
Full spread. Totally awesome.
I really thought that our listeners would be scumbags, but it turns out they're awesome.
Right? So. Don't we have an awesome listener in Ohio who's amazing?
It turns out it's just us that are scumbags.
Yeah.
Yes, we want to thank listener Erica from an undisclosed location.
That Gina just totally blurted out.
Yeah, so she donated to the show. If you go to wearelibertarians.com and you scroll to the bottom, we have the Tanstoffel tip jar. And she kicked in some coinage to help support the podcast. And we really appreciate that. That was really cool of her. And what we do is we take that money and we put it into advertising and into the production of the shows. So we really appreciate it, because we actually need, as you'll tell from Gina this evening, we'll need some new mics.
Yeah.
So Maya's doing a podcast. I'm mentioning Maya because she quit the show.
Oh, yeah. Why'd she quit the show again?
Because we're all not anarchists, and she's an anarchist, and she's tired of trying to convince us, even though the whole point of the show is to give everybody's point of view so the listener can decide what they believe. But I'm taking my ball and going home. So I don't know how she turned into Andy Kaufman's Tony.
Yeah, Kaufman. Right?
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. So thank you to Erica for kicking in some coinage. We really do appreciate that.
Thank you, Erica.
Really, thank you.
Really cool of you. And, you know, we're a growing empire, as you can tell if you...
Ever expanding
thanks to the enchiladas. And if you go to WAL-radio.com, or if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com/radio, we've added several new shows to the podcast network. Before this, it was really just We Are Libertarians, Creating Maya, and The Uncontrollables. And this past couple weeks, we've added The Show Report with Ryan Ripley, mm-hmm. where Ryan Ripley, myself, and Joe Ruiz, I'm putting myself in front of Joe, I Ruiz'd him there, we discuss the media. We can't seem to cram enough discussion into the week, so we're discussing journalism and what a libertarian ought to view the media as, and just give you some pointers on when you're dissecting the mainstream media, what to look for, because the manipulation of language, this really came out of the Snowden affair, and I was talking to Ryan, and I said, you know, the manipulation of political language is insane. And he said, well, can I do a podcast about it? I said, sure, why not? And can I be on it? Well, because the world needs more me.
Yes.
Also is story time with Gina.
Yes.
Gina, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
My podcast is amazingly random, and we talk about things generally not political, but it's just putting something else into the network that we haven't had before. It's, I don't know, maybe it's a quarter comedy, a quarter tragedy, and mostly
domestic issues.
Mostly domestic issues. There's no violence, just domestic issues.
Yes.
Gina does a great job. She actually prepares for it. Like, it is so cool because we don't prepare for the show at all. And then Gina shows up with her notes, and she has notes, and she knows what she wants to talk about. And then Ryan Ripley, like, before we do the show, the last two episodes, has sent Joe and I, like, you print it out, it's 4 pages long of exactly what he's going to say, exactly what video he's going to play. It's brilliant. It almost made me prep for this week, but then I decided against it.
And then I walked in, and again, you were in a tie-dye shirt with gym shorts on and your hair spiked.
Right. So
yeah, your hair does look exceptional tonight.
I know. Well, I'm quite the, what is that, debonair?
The and dandy.
I'm quite the dandy, yes. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, just a sharp-dressed man, I guess.
Also, joining us on the network is the Rob Kendall Show with April D. Gregory. Now, these folks are right over in the Greg Lenz camp. They're libertarian Republicans. They like Rand Paul, but they also like Mike Pence.
Nope, they're not in my camp at all, because that is impossible to like Mike Pence and be, I guess, leaning libertarian. Yeah. Mike Pence on social issues, nope, not
no,
gonna fly.
It's a fun listen, and they do more ball busting of each other than they do ball busting of, well, libertarians or Republicans or anybody else. So apparently Rob has very poor decorating taste, which April likes to point out to him pretty often. It's a fun listen, and it's a good program. Rob is, he used to own a radio station out in North Carolina and moved to Brownsburg, and he now sits on the town council of Brownsburg. So he has a unique perspective, a great radio voice, very, very good radio voice. I'm jealous because, as you can tell, mine is atrocious. And
a cheap price phone sex operator.
Yeah. With that.
Hey, I should. You're right. I should be broadcasting at Wendy's. And what else? I have a podcast on there called The Chris Spangle Show. I don't know if I'll ever do anything with it, but it's on there. You can subscribe to it.
What do you do on that?
Nothing. There's three podcasts on there, including the very first show I ever did. It was in 2005. I was interning at WXNT, and as a thank you for doing a lot of free work and getting up at 6 a.m. every day, they gave me my very own hour on Saturday with a friend, with a couple of friends, and we talked about a smoking ban and how ridiculous it was, and it wasn't as horrible as I thought it was going to be, but it's still not that great. But it is, if you want to hear me almost 10 years ago going, "Hey guys, welcome to WXAT. Who wants to?" So that's on that feed, and I may do something with it eventually. But and then, yeah, so go check out WAL-radio.com. Check out the various podcasts that we have, and we'll be recording Storytime with Gina after this. What are we talking about on that?
I have a few things in mind. I know we're going to talk education. We've got a couple teachers calling in. Hopefully, one of them's actually driving to Sturgis right now on the back of a Harley, so hopefully she can find some internet access. But if she can't join us, we'll definitely have a inner-city teacher who teaches like calculus in Indy, and we have Josh joining us as our guest for that, who has some personal experience with a couple of recent things in education, and I hope to talk about my White House and
racist. It's always, I swear, it's always, yeah. You know, for the liberal on this show, you're always talking about color.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, I didn't name the White House. I just intend to take it. So
you know, you marry one Hispanic, and it's like you get a flyer the rest of your life.
The rest of your life.
Check your privilege, sir.
Oh, a friend of mine messaged me, Nate Zupan, and he goes, "I just heard NPR say white privilege. What does that mean?" I was like, "Let me introduce you to Melissa Harris Perry." Eric, what's his name? Dyson. That guy is a trip. So, all right. Well, that is the announcements. We want to say thank you to Josh, to Erica. Thank you to everybody who listens to the show. We really do appreciate it. And thank you to all the people who have rated us on iTunes. Because I don't know if you guys have gone and looked at the comments that we're getting on iTunes, but they're really, really nice.
Especially iPhone Gamer 397.
Yeah, that guy can go light himself on fire.
Yeah,
It was excessively douchey.
Kill yourself with fire, please.
I mean, he wasn't exactly off.
No, he is right.
A bunch of nerds who like sit around and talking to each other. I mean, you know,
that is exactly.
Yeah.
Welcome.
It was just the one star. For nerds that like to sit around and talk to each other, we do it extremely effectively in an entertaining way. So
we
that
don't,
should be 5 stars.
He said we don't talk about issues, we only talk about each other, which we only do that for the first 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
And it's our favorite topic, so we have to get to us.
Yeah.
So, And then somebody else gave us 5 stars, and they kind of repeated it. And that made me a little paranoid. I'm not going to lie. I started like, really? Maybe we need to tighten it up at the beginning. So we're only talking about ourselves for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get to the issues. So
we just chopped it in half.
But some of them are truly really, really nice. Like, this is my favorite podcast. Like, I started walking around like I was the situation that day after I read this. I was like, yo. So
that was from when you logged into Sam's account, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm all 30 of them.
I figured. I'm even the same iPhone, IP address.
Yeah, I'm even the iPhone gamer. That's after I had a half a pint of ice cream. I was like, you're a bunch of nerds.
I want some interesting people on my podcast.
Spangle gets ice cream wasted.
I've never done drugs, but man, have I done a lot of ice cream.
He goes heavy on the spoon.
She's like, I'm laying in bed last night reading you complain about how men, if men got pregnant, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've been pregnant since high school. What are you talking about? You had a baby and it went away. I have to do sit-ups.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked. I had that baby. It just went away.
Yeah.
It was just like that enchilada's going to feel after this show.
Stop it. That's inappropriate.
But funny.
Yes, it is true. All right, so on to issues. There's several
issues.
Not ours, the world's. So there are several police stories. We're going to talk
a little bit
about
what's happening.
Adam Kokesh, are you okay?
No, the police thing has just really got me beefed.
Wow. Okay. all right.
I think that was a pig joke.
You know what? That's sexist.
It
because
is.
If a man
beefs
had said...
Beefs are not even pigs. Huh? Just saying. Beefs are steers.
So we're going to talk
pigs, cops, duh.
We're going to talk a little bit about Adam Kokesh. We're going to talk about Jack Hunter. I mean, there's like a million things. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're like, what do you want to talk about? Well, not the same thing as last week. And then all of a sudden, it's we could talk about Obamacare this week. We could talk about... the do-nothing Congress, immigration being killed. I mean, there's
right.
a ton of issues. So, but we're going to point out a few libertarian things because you can get a lot of that stuff elsewhere. So we're going to talk about some of the libertarian issues that the movement is talking about. First, we're going to go to Tennessee. There was, on the 4th of July, there were several stops, DUI checkpoints, and the local Libertarian Party actually organized, did a little activism. Let's play this clip from WSMV in, I assume, Tennessee, as they talk about the Libertarian Party's activism and what they did on the 4th of July.
Am I being detained?
Pull over to the side right there.
Video of a July 4th DUI checkpoint stop in Rutherford County has gone viral now. At least 2 million hits were logged on YouTube since the weekend, and it is growing. We aired the video on Channel 4 Friday night at 10 o'clock. It all centers around a driver's rights at these particular DUI checkpoints. Now, tonight, we have since learned the driver is a member of the Libertarian Party, and a number of party members carried cameras with him that night. Earlier today, we spoke to a Libertarian Party member about the incident, but first, take a look at how this stop all went down.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Go ahead and roll your window down for me.
This is fine, sir.
Do what?
This is fine.
That's fine?
Yes, sir.
Why is that fine?
The driver was ready for a DUI checkpoint on the 4th of July.
To say he was driving around just trying to find the checkpoint, I don't think I can't say that he did that. A few people were, basically said that they would carry a video camera, and if they were to happen through a checkpoint, they would record it and exercise their constitutional rights.
The few people Axel David was referring to, he says, are members of the Libertarian Party.
They were recording it because they wanted to ensure that their rights would not be violated.
When the driver refused to roll his window down any further, the deputy then asked the driver to pull his car to the side of the road.
Am I being detained?
Pull over to the side right there.
Am I being detained or
pull
am I free to go?
Pull over to the side right there.
Canine searched the driver's car for drugs. When no drugs were found, the driver was allowed to go. Axel David saw the video. His reaction?
He should have more firmly stood his ground and exercised his rights. He was overly compliant. He pretty much voluntarily exited the car. An argument can be made, was he forced out, ordered out, or was he asked to leave the car? I don't know.
David says the DUI checkpoint for this driver went a step further.
We believe that he checked every indicator, determined that there was no intoxication going on, yet he decided to continue it on as a narcotics checkpoint, which is against the law.
Legal expert David Rabin also saw the video. He has a somewhat different take on the driver's behavior.
This guy is immediately becoming confrontational and non-compliant with the officer for no reason, no apparent reason. So the officer is allowed to escalate this a little further. Okay, this is not the way to react to a police command to move.
Now, the Facebook page for the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department is no longer available for some reason. Well, we called the department to get a comment. We never got a response. However, a spokesperson for the department did tell us on Friday that they're reviewing the incident to determine if any policy or procedures were violated.
All right, Gina, would you say that he was confrontational? Do you agree with the legal expert?
First of all, no, he wasn't confrontational. Second of all, at what point do your rights get diminished if you are confrontational? I think that's a second. Legal expert that they brought in seems to be a little misinformed, I would say.
Not much of an expert.
Right.
Greg, what do you think about the video?
Oh, it's total crap. It's absolute crap. It's that mindset police get from, it's that fraternal mob mentality where they can operate with outside the bounds and violate rights and think they're fine. I love the guy, though, that goes, he knows his constitutional rights.
Yep.
The deputy absolutely 100% knew what was about to go down.
And I guess, and I don't know if you could hear it in the video, Gina was actually watching it, but this was a coordinated effort by the Libertarian Party of Tennessee, and they had several people go through the line looking for this gold. I mean, this guy, he tries to open the door at a certain point. He does everything almost wrong, you know, and it goes on. The video, I think it's like 15, it's 6 minutes long. And if you look on the YouTube channel, and we'll make sure to post it in the podcast post so you can watch the video for yourself. He did nothing wrong. He was perfectly respectful. He wasn't compliant, and I don't understand how we got to a point where total compliance equals total respect.
Right, and it's interesting to me, like, this isn't the full video. The full video of the stop involves a narcotics dog coming to sniff the car, and the way that they carried out that search was even, at best, suspect and probably completely irresponsibly incorrect. It appeared as though, in the video that I saw, they indicated as much as the dog would only alert, and you can't see me, but I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, alert on the car when the cop would tap on the car. So it was as though the dog was following the command to sort of alert, and at that point they began searching and ransacking his car, and eventually towards the end of that they realized that the camera is on, and that's when there's like this OS moment, we're effed, because it's just very evident that they were abusing their authority, and I think it's awesome that this guy had the wherewithal, or the party, I guess, had the wherewithal to organize and go take care of it.
Yeah, we were trying to hook up with Axel tonight and get Axel on, because Chris, who is in the video filming this, actually isn't able to talk on the advice of lawyers. So Axel is the communications director of the Tennessee Libertarian Party, a former Hoosier, so he moved from Indianapolis down there. This is clearly... I mean, what do you think about this kind of activism, Greg?
I love it. This is exactly what we need, because it's not just local law enforcement. It's at every level of government. There is this kind of overreach, this kind of license they feel to get right up to the law, and then most of the time actually go over the line. That's what I think I see more often than not. And then they try to give themselves backouts by saying, oh, no, you can't record this. You know, more. How many states have that law? Do you know?
I don't.
Where you cannot record police officers?
It's growing because they're concerned.
This is exactly why. Yeah. This is exactly why. This is how you stop this kind of thing, is you record every government overreach, every problem you encounter, every bureaucrat that tries to screw you, and then you broadcast it as widely as you can.
Right.
They are now claiming, and I'm looking at Axel's Facebook page because I was trying to grab something, and they're claiming that they found a couple of marijuana grainlets. And Axel says that Chris has never done drugs or carried drugs in his car. They didn't test them, remove them, or cite the driver with anything. If anything, the video shows even more thug behavior that we don't see in the original recording. And so they released the total unedited video of the stop to prove that. If they had found grainlets, the dog would have gone nuts. So it's just like they're looking for any excuse. Now,
well, they just don't like it when they are questioned.
Right.
They despise that more than you actually breaking the law. It's not so much that you broke the law. It's that you don't respect that they hold your situation in their hands.
Right. There is something interesting that Axel reminded me of. Here in Indianapolis, it's called Indianapolis v. Edmond. It's a 2000 Supreme Court case where the city of Indianapolis stopped actually a guy named Edmond and also a friend of mine, Joel Palmer, who's here in Indianapolis in libertarian circles. And they were arrested for pot possession. And the Supreme Court at that time banned the use of drug-sniffing dogs at roadblocks. And it was considered a major, major dent in the constitutionality of DUI checkpoints. Because these checkpoints presume that every single person who is on the road is guilty.
Yeah.
That every single person who is on the road is driving drunk. And that's just not the case.
No.
The vast majority of people who are... I mean, nobody is saying that people should, you know, that we should just... Well, Radley Balco actually is in favor of getting rid of...
the DUI limit?
Of the not the DUI limit, but, you know, drunk driving laws. But
oh, yes, drunk driving laws.
Yeah. So, because then that will... Gina's distracting me with, what are you doing? So they clearly overreacted. This is commonplace. You know, if you don't comply, then you get this sort of attitude from police officers, a lot of police officers. And it's just, what is your opinion on the reaction of the police?
That cop was clearly out of his mind, or at least, you know, swollen with authority. He was swollen with his own sense of self-righteousness because, I mean, clearly the kid is not confrontational. He's just stating, I know my rights and you're violating my rights. And he's absolutely accurate. His rights are being violated. There is no, as Spengel's saying, it's completely illegal to bring in a dog to search someone's vehicle as a result of passing a sobriety test. So clearly somebody was a little power drunk.
Oh, for sure.
Let's take a look at actually the history of this particular deputy, courtesy of WSMV.
Am I being detained?
Pull over to the side right there.
Am I being detained or
pull
am I free
over to
go?
To the side right there.
Now to the video that has been viewed nearly 3 million times and has people talking all across the country. A driver says his rights were violated while he recorded this DUI checkpoint on the 4th of July. And this evening we are learned that the officer at the center of the viral video does have a history with the department. Channel 4's Nancy Ames has been covering the story from the beginning, and you're here now with more.
We did. The Libertarian Party has alleged that the actions of the deputy in this traffic stop were illegal. Now, the stop has certainly generated a lot of controversy for Rutherford County and, naturally, some scrutiny on the deputy who was involved.
You got air fresheners under the seat. Wasn't a very good alert.
The student whose camera recorded this video on the 4th of July says he was illegally detained and searched by Rutherford County deputies. The driver is a member of the Libertarian Party. Party spokesman Axel David says the video is getting viewed all over the world.
It's nearing 3 million YouTube hits. Just with my name being on the press releases and whatnot, my email and phone is just being bombarded.
The Rutherford County Sheriff's Department expects to have the results of an investigation later this week. They're reviewing whether the deputies followed policy and procedure. Friday, legal expert David Rabin reviewed the video at our request. In Rabin's opinion, the driver was mostly to blame. He says the officer was justified in escalating his response because the driver was uncooperative with the request to roll down his window and to pull over.
I need you to pull right over the side, right there.
Am I being detained?
Pull over to the side, right there.
At that moment in time when he tells him to pull over, he's being detained. Doesn't require probable cause. It just requires reasonable suspicion.
The student alleges in his video that the deputies used the drug dogs to give a false alert on his car. No drugs were found. We can't see clearly from his video what the drug dogs did, but Channel 4 has learned there may be video shot by the Rutherford Sheriff's Office and by the Department of Safety. Meanwhile, Channel 4 has been looking into whether Rutherford Deputy A.J. Ross has had prior complaints. We found out from his personnel file that the first time he worked for the department, from 2002 to 2004, he resigned as he was about to be terminated. Ross failed to show up for a court docket, where he was a witness in more than 24 cases. Many of them were DUI charges. He also failed to appear for a grand jury. Also in 2003, Ross rear-ended someone in his personal pickup truck, then lied about whether he had insurance. Now, the MTSU student has declined an on-camera interview, but he is answering questions by email. He says he has been contacted by the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. He says he does not plan to file a complaint because he was never charged with anything. Demetra?
Nancy Amons tonight. Thank you.
All right. So you've got a police officer. One of the things that I'd like to point out, I don't want this to go by. You know, they point out in the video, the legal expert, using Gina's air quotes, he says, oh, well, you know, he's being detained. They don't have to have probable cause. You know, they don't have to express what the probable cause is. What would the probable cause even be here? That he didn't comply? He stood up for his constitutional rights. He said, no, am I being detained? No.
I mean, the only misleading, he could be purposely misleading and lying. Trying to obstruct justice might be the only thing I can think
probable
that you could
cause
catch him on.
For what? It's just, it's exasperating.
It just really bothers me that they're now trying to plant a shard of marijuana on him and act as though that's a punishable offense. I mean, say he bought his car secondhand.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, you're going to miss a tiny little fragment. If
you drive through the right neighborhood in Indianapolis and a shard of pot is coming in the window.
You let Maya drive it. You're right in your car. You never know what might fall out. So...
All right.
So this is just, it's a completely bogus story. And kudos to the Libertarian Party of Tennessee and all the people involved, and especially Chris, for standing up for all of our rights. I mean, really,
absolutely,
some activism. You know, they've got a legal defense fund. If you want to donate to the legal defense fund, look up Axel David. Actually, we'll link it in the post. So somebody remind me to do that.
And let this set the precedent. I mean, this is what has to happen. You have to watch them. They're watching you. You right. have to watch them.
All right. So let's move on to Adam Kokesh. You know, we have often been on this show critical of Adam Kokesh.
Yes.
And please, someone text Maya and tell her we're talking about Adam Kokesh. After
in
her
positive light.
We've been critical of his tactics.
Right.
Yeah.
More so than anything.
Right.
And I think we're allowed to be, because some of the things that he does are just flagrantly...
I think it's not even some of the things he does. I think it's the way that he presents himself. Sometimes it comes across as he's trying to be a violent militia man. Or he's trying to be...
In a self-promotional manner.
Right. In a self-promotional manner. But I think a lot of what he does... Was it illegal for... Well, here's what happened. So on July 4th, was it? I don't know what the specific date was. But I think it was July 4th. He went to Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. And he recorded the following YouTube video.
We will not be silent. We will not obey. We will not allow our government to destroy our humanity. We are the final American Revolution. See you next Independence Day.
So he is loading a weapon there, and I am not a gun person, so I cannot tell you what kind of weapon that is. Don't know. Looks... like a shotgun.
I'm pretty sure it's a shotgun.
Yeah, it's some sort of shotgun. So watch the video. Go onto YouTube on his channel, or go onto YouTube and search "Open Carry March on DC a Success." So he loads and locks this weapon that he knows is illegal in Washington DC in Freedom Park, which is between the White House and the Capitol. Posts the 21-second clip on YouTube and then goes home. Now, 7 days or several days later, they're just chilling at home on Tuesday night around 7:30. Adam was taking a nap. Several of the folks who do Adam versus the Man are hanging out at their house. And all of a sudden, they hear a knock. And
that's a polite way of putting it.
Right. Well, they hear a cop knock,
yeah.
Similar to what Gina did to Maya. You'll have to go back and listen to this most recent episode of The Uncontrollables to understand that. So they hear a knock, and a few seconds after they hear a knock, someone busts down the door.
Yep.
They don't even have an opportunity to go and answer the door. So they knock. The door gets busted down. They throw a flashbang in there. They totally break the door.
SWAT team.
SWAT. Yep. Several different agencies.
I had heard a rumor there was a helicopter.
No, there was a helicopter.
There a helicopter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Like, you have.
How much did that cost?
Yeah. It cost a lot. if you go to Adam versus the Man, listen to the most recent podcast where Adam's girlfriend and the development director for Adam versus the Man discuss the raid. The Washington Post actually did a really nice job of giving their side of the story as well. I have no reason to doubt their side of the story and what happened. I mean, you know, I don't think that Adam's girlfriend and the development director are being hyperbolic at all, because we know the manner in which most of these agencies act, and they consider Adam to be a dangerous personality.
Yes.
I personally don't think that he is a dangerous personality.
Right.
I think that he sometimes inflates his message. And sometimes I think people read violence into what he's saying. But his words, you know, he never calls for violence.
A voluntarist.
He is a voluntarist. He agrees with the non-aggression principle. And he's not a militia guy. He's not one of these people like in Ruby Ridge where the government needs to have a standoff with this guy. You know, and they are treating him that way. It is the government, in fact, which is using violence and force in this situation.
Oh,
it is
yeah.
not Adam Kokesh at all. And so now from the police perspective, here's what their perspective would be. Let's give the other side of the story, just to be fair. They view this person as a dangerous personality, someone who has influence, who has 70,000 Facebook fans. A lot of them fit the profile of the terrorist, the modern domestic terrorist, the Timothy McVeigh mindset that the Department of Homeland Security has warned us about. They're Ron Paul fans. They're libertarians.
Uh-oh.
They own guns. Some of them might use drugs.
They probably believe in the Constitution, which
right?
is just majorly offensive.
Constitution.
How un-American.
Dangerous, Gina.
This man loaded a shotgun in a place where shotguns are not allowed.
Then quietly walked away and went home.
Didn't,
oh, my Lord.
Now, Greg, we're giving the other side. Stop being fair.
No, but that's suspicious. What kind of person just loads a gun
and just
walks away?
You're
I mean,
right.
To me, if I'm a cop, that's a red flag.
That's
clearly
right.
There's intent to do nothing there.
Yes, I mean.
I mean, it is a gun-free zone. There are no guns in Washington, D.C., except for the one that Adam Kokesh brought into Washington, D.C.
Oh, and David Gregory's.
Oh, yeah.
David Gregory has a gun.
Don't worry about him. We're not talking about David Gregory and his loaded magazine.
And every single diplomat that's got diplomatic immunity, guarantee you, is packing and loaded.
That's who I want to have guns.
Exactly.
I want Muammar Gaddafi's security staff to be fully loaded.
Oh, but they look very smart, his security detail. These ladies look like they could handle a weapon. So Adam Kokesh is clearly, according to the government's profile, probably a deranged psychotic domestic terrorist with loaded weapons, a penchant, is that how you say it, for violence?
Penchant.
A penchant? Yeah.
Penchant.
A penchant.
Was that French?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
for
no.
violence. And
we have a plant.
You just can't put police officers in danger when you're going to arrest someone for this cause. He is on video breaking the law. How can they not go after him?
Clearly.
Except for the whole David Gregory thing where they didn't go after him.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
No, he's a liberal. He's fine.
But he's good. He's good. He's on national TV. He'd never hurt anybody.
State-sponsored television.
He'd never hurt
not
a single
national
person.
TV.
National state-sponsored TV.
State-sponsored television.
Watch it.
I mean, OJ, he was on national TV. He never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So they have to arrest Adam Kokesh because he just did something horrifically violent. He threatened sedition, which is rumored to be the charge that he is,
really?
He is
sedition
threatening armed sedition against the federal government. So
what?
They have to do something. They have to pick this guy up. He is taunting them. Make an example of me, please. And so they're just going to make an example of him and give him exactly what he wants. So they go, they bust down the door. Thank goodness that Adam's girlfriend takes the dog and puts the dog in its cage.
So they'd have shot it.
Because they would have shot that dog and killed the dog, and
absolutely.
You know they would have.
The dog was on drugs, probably.
Right.
That they brought into the house in evidence bags.
Again, that's the charge, the narcotics 1 and 2 for the psychedelic mushrooms.
Yeah, apparently they had psychedelic mushrooms. You know that they're coming for you at some point. Get the stuff out of the house.
Oh, you think those are his?
Didn't we read a report that suggested that the girlfriend said that the detective showed up with evidence bags that they carried in from outside?
Yes. I mean, we'll let people make their own conclusions.
I mean, he's a voluntarist, so it wouldn't shock me if he had done drugs and did do a pot rally.
That fits the profile of these dangerous people.
Yes. No, it does. It does. But it would shock me that
only
he
a person
is...
who would load a weapon in D.C. would be on mushrooms.
Yep.
Can't argue that logic.
Yeah, I guess you can't. Or John Wilkes Booth. Those would be the two.
Right. Hey, Mr. Southern accent on the show. Don't talk about John Wilkes Booth.
It was a war of Northern aggression.
It was the war of Northern aggression. So they come in. They lock everyone in a room. They zip tie everybody regardless. The team tried to run out the back. They were met with... ultimately, they estimate that they probably had 40 people in the house that were armed and pointing guns at them. The majority of them were physically touched in, you know, a violent way. They were hit, kicked. Adam was kicked by one of the officers. They put them all in the same room. That, according to Adam Kokesh's girlfriend, was a mistake because he gave them all instructions. She's like, that was like the worst thing they could do because he started telling us exactly what we ought to do. They heard us talking and they separated us. They clearly wanted to make an example of this guy, you know, and I encourage you to go listen to that podcast. I don't want to rehash all of it. It's their story to tell. And it was interesting. One interesting part was that the media was there before the raid happened.
Oh yeah, they let it leak.
So you know that if there were psychedelic mushrooms and they were aware of the media setting outside of their home, that would have been flushed. Period.
It's like straight out of Wag the Dog.
Right.
You know,
they saw people coming up the driveway. I mean, they yelled. One of them yelled. I think it was Kokesh yelled from the kitchen. They said, "Up to the girlfriend who was getting out of the shower." You know, lock up the dog, here come the cops, and then they knocked and then busted down the door. And, you know, it just shows you how sadistic these people are when she tells her story about needing to go to the restroom. I mean, I'll let you listen. You may be familiar with what was taking place with this poor young lady.
Did they kick her down?
No, they wouldn't let her go to the restroom to get feminine products, you know. I was trying to be...
So I'm the bleeder on the panel.
Well, I was trying to, you know...
The proper term is spotting.
She had menses.
Yeah, I was trying to be, you know...
They're absolutely brutal when they execute a raid like that. I know within my own family, there was someone who was... names got confused from an informant. And the police showed up at the wrong home, and it was actually the federal government showed up at one of my relatives' homes and raided in the middle of the night. And there was a similar situation. She was sleeping naked, and they would not allow her to grab a damn rope.
Yeah.
And they came in with their boots, and her children were terrified. There was one laying on top of the older brother laid on top of the younger brother to try to shield him from what was going on. I mean, it was just a nightmarish situation, all because an informant... gave false information essentially against my family. So it was kind of crazy.
You know, they made the comment they didn't view us as human beings.
Right.
No.
They entered our home as if we were not human beings. And I think that's complete. I mean, this goes on all the time. You hear about these kind of raids because of raw milk.
Right. Watertown.
Right.
They violated every constitutional amendment we have.
You want to see the government's plan if the currency collapses. Watertown, after the Boston bombings, that is what will happen in every major city in America.
Oh, it was the test run.
Yeah.
The test run.
They showed us everything they were going to do.
Conspiratorially or anything like that.
No, they have drills.
Yeah.
Here in Indiana, look up what a fusion center is. Homeland Security Fusion Center. We have one here in Indianapolis in the basement of our state capitol where the state, local, and federal law enforcement get together, coordinate against terrorists or domestic threats like Adam Kokesh or Gina Martinez. And
not Al-Qaeda.
Not Al-Qaeda.
All 50 of them in the Pakistan
Sweet
mountains.
Sweet little Gina Martinez, who would never harm a fly.
Much.
Well, let's not go that far.
That's true.
But I'm certainly not a threat.
No.
To decency, yes. Would you, to society, no.
Sidebar, Greg. Would you rather fight me or Gina?
You, totally.
Me? I'm 6'1", 300 pounds. Gina's like, what, 4'3"-ish? And like 100 pounds? Like,
these sound like good numbers.
I really would not want to fight Gina.
Oh, no way. Are you kidding me?
I mean, like, the worst thing I could do is steal your honeypot. So
you will never see your honeypot again. And I don't mean because I'll take it. I mean because you will never lay eyes upon anything again.
Wow. Who else is turned on in the audience?
I know. Can you call me Spanglebear right now, please? So anyways, all right.
No, treating them like humans. That is very important because we elect leaders to be commissioners, to be sheriffs, to be all these different positions, and we expect people to be competent and care about us as citizens to protect our rights, and then they go and they hire.
We don't just expect them to. We pay them.
We pay them. We demand them that they do this. They hire people who can't wait to be police officers.
Yeah.
That should be the rule. Do you want to be a police officer? You can't be a police officer. That should be the rule.
There actually is a rule. Okay. Who was it that posted not too long, like yesterday maybe, that there was a lawsuit that just settled where a young man was applying to be on the police force, and he took the IQ test, and he scored too high, so they refused to hire him. He was ineligible for employment because he had an IQ that was above the range that they were looking for, and it was ruled that they were allowed to do that. So you literally cannot be too smart and become a cop in certain areas.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to be that podcast.
No,
that,
we're not like, cop haters.
I don't want to be that. Like, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to be the they're all pigs type podcast.
No,
that's not who we are.
And they're not all pigs.
Right. But when you look at things like Dorner, the LAPD murdered a guy. Like, he may have been a scumbag. He may have been guilty, but he'll never have his day in court according to his Bill of Rights because they murdered him. They pushed him back into a burning cabin.
Right.
You know, they were violating almost every amendment you could think of after the Boston bombings, looking for one little 19-year-old. Found by a smoker, not by the 25,000 police officers they had in the district.
Nope.
You know, Adam Kokesh is a guy who
loaded a weapon.
I would not personally engage in his sort of activism. Just because that's not my style, it's not who I am, does it mean that I think he's a bad person for doing it? Absolutely not. Because clearly he is getting people talking about these sorts of issues. We're talking about it.
Right.
You know, a lot of libertarians are talking about it. But is it translating outside of the libertarian bubble?
I hope it is, but it can be more of a turnoff for the non-critical thinker.
But you never know, because look at the Tennessee Libertarian Party and what they did down there. That's been viewed 3 million, 4 million times on YouTube, and that started a national conversation about the ridiculousness of this kind of stuff.
Right? Yeah, no, it did. It did. And then Edward Snowden's not being viewed as treasonous, and in all the polling.
Yeah,
I mean, it's tough though with Adam. If you asked Adam what he really wanted, Adam would say, you know, I want a society where people are free to live as they wish.
Right.
What is offensive about that? I mean, the only people that offends are people in power.
Right,
currently.
People that want to make a profit off of what it is that they control.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was illegal. There's just no way around it. That's what the law says. He did something illegal.
But the Constitution...
To us, it was not immoral, though.
No.
You know, he didn't do anything immoral. He didn't hurt anyone. He didn't violate anyone's rights. He exercised one of his rights. The Second Amendment guarantees his ability to carry a weapon. You know, he exercised in the Heller case I don't even know how this is illegal because of the Heller case specifically. So kudos to Adam. And the same with the Legal Defense Fund in Tennessee. You know, George Donnelly runs, and I got to look up the defense network, but there is, are you making fun of my voice cracking
totally
like a little teenager?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I want to play, guys.
hey guys, donate to my fund. yeah, check out Adam Kokesh's Facebook page. This will probably be the quickest way. There is another podcast that I was listening to with George Donnelly, actually, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I totally do not agree with their assessment of the Libertarian Party, but it was an interesting podcast nonetheless, and I'll get that.
Was it the Ann Coulter conclusion that they reached?
Oh, no, it's just, you know, they weren't libertarian enough, you know. It's
aha,
like,
they weren't down for the struggle. They didn't march at Selma.
Here's the thing.
With Dr. King.
An unjust law is no law at all.
you're anarchist libertarian, you're voluntarist. They are, they don't vote. They're very much like Maya. Maya doesn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
She finds it to be offensive that you would vote and oppress your political opinion on others. They, you know, don't want anything to do with the political process. The Libertarian Party wants to participate in the political process, wants you to vote. And so it's just counterintuitive to a lot of voluntarists.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Libertarian Party, though, has never stressed that they're absolute pure anarchists.
Right. And so they had a discussion about reform versus radical libertarians. It's called The Art of Liberty, the Unauthorized Radical Libertarian Podcast with George Donnelly and John Tyner. So check it out. I thought it was worth a listen. It was thought-provoking. Of course, listen to that after you listen to all of the podcasts found at wal-radio.com.
Right.
But George has an organization that actually helps. It's sort of like AAA for anarchists is the best way to put it. Yeah, roadside assistance.
I'm under arrest. Could you please read me your membership number?
That's exactly kind of what it is. So if you are exercising your rights like Adam, if you're out, you know, being an activist and you get arrested, you can pay $50 a year into this fund, and then they'll help use their networks to fundraise for you. So I think it's kind of
brilliant idea.
Yeah, kind of a cool idea. So he's raising money for his defense fund. He helped him after the last time Kokesh got arrested. Nice.
It's like an own little libertarian collectivist pot.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of a cool idea. So check that out.
That's like this redistribution of wealth.
I know you do, Tommy.
So
tell me more, Madam Mao.
Left of Mao.
That's right. Write it down.
Yep.
That was the F-bomb.
I know. Gina has done well this show.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
We're like
sugar meds.
47 minutes into this podcast, and we've only got four edits.
I can say this. No more food like enchiladas before the show, because she has been way too well behaved.
I know.
Way too.
Have you been farting over there? Or?
Maybe.
Gina.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that you guys are waiting 5 more days for Twinkies, and I'll be having one for lunch.
I'm just saying. They are screwing up. We're done with Kokesh. We're Team Kokesh on this one.
But you should look up how he's being treated now that he's been arrested, because there's more controversy brewing.
Don't you think that it's unbelievable the overreaction from one guy given 70,000 Facebook fans a podcast, and he used to be on, what, Russia Today?
Russia Today.
This is
And he was on there for like 2 months.
He's not a major player.
Right.
He's not a major player, and they are acting like this was...
Because there is no real threat, apparently. It doesn't... I mean, if this guy is the threat that you're willing to take down your helicopter and your SWAT team for, maybe we're inflating things a little bit, guys.
They completely are. Here's a guy who loaded a weapon who is not calling for a violent revolution. He's calling for...
An American revolution.
He's calling for people to march in on 4th of July with their guns, but don't be violent with it. You know, so he's not like a militiaman who's plotting an overthrow of a federal agency. You know, he is not planning violence. And let me tell you, if he was, they went through his girlfriend's diary. They took all their computers. I almost said they stole all their computers. I guess that might be accurate. Took all of their computers. They're looking for...
Why would they need to do that?
Yeah, just to make sure.
You know. Just call the
NSA. Right.
They've got backups.
Yeah, why would you do... That's just mean. That's cruel.
Yeah, it's national security. It's overkill. If you felt like you had to uphold the law, okay, David Gregory's ass should be in jail.
Absolutely, right? And not just for that, for his awful
representation
of Tim Russert's chair.
For ruining Meet the Press.
Can we talk about that fashion sense?
Yeah.
Oh, that hair and those eyebrows.
Those
that man.
Eyebrows.
Oh, my goodness. We need to get Maya on that guy's stat. But, yeah. So,
I mean, but isn't it odd, though? I mean,
if you feel like, here's my point. If you feel like you have to do something, then show up to the guy's house, knock on the door, and arrest him.
Right.
Or wait till he walks out of his house defenseless and arrest him, and you have five officers around.
But no, flashbang grenade, SWAT team, right. Helicopter.
And this is going to sound sexist.
Because this guy has a podcast.
Yeah, and it's going to sound sexist, and I don't mean it because it will apply. But it's like the actions of an insecure girlfriend. Like, how is he cheating? Is that, you know, like, what's going on here? I can't, right. You know, and we're going to monitor him constantly. We're going to overreact. We're going to blow the doors off his house, take everything he has. Why are you feeling threatened by a guy that's got a podcast and 70,000 Facebook friends?
I really, really hope we're on a list.
Oh, I hope so.
You know we are, you guys. Like
if we're on a podcast.
Well, I know you are. You've been interviewed by the Secret Service.
I was informed that I was a dangerous person by my neighbor, too.
He's a libertarian.
I'll tell that story briefly in a minute if you haven't heard it.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's cool that we're on a list or whatever, but we pose absolutely no threat, and I got kids.
Yeah.
We may
and
need
a
to
cardboard
pay.
Front door.
We may need George Donnelly's activist AAA here
right.
In a second.
Yeah, right.
I wish sure. I had the name of that. I'm sorry that I'm calling it the AAA.
Yeah, activist AAA. It almost is demeaning.
Go to Kokesh's thing. It's a really good idea. So, hey, we mentioned it, man.
That's true.
George Donnelly yelled at me one time because I sent him a press release, and he was like, don't ever email me again. I'm like, screw you, George Donnelly. I'll never talk about you on a podcast. But he has such a good idea of talking about him on a podcast. So. Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Yes,
Let's
Twinkies.
Get to something important. All right.
Sponge cakes.
You have a Twinkie. This is from December-ish.
Yeah, whenever the meltdown happened and everybody lost their minds.
And they are... They're a little stale.
Well, in my defense, I got them at the Hostess Factory outlet.
So they were already 4 years
old. I just don't think they were sealed properly. No. Can you see where this one's all wonky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's where that came from. I think that was from the James Neese Urban Survivalism course.
That might have happened.
Yeah. Gina, if you show up at this dumpster exactly at 2:37 p.m., throw away Twinkies.
Yeah, if you don't know what
we're... This is the last of the zombie land.
If you want to know what we're talking about, go to The Uncontrollables at theuncontrollables.com and look for the podcast with James Neese because it was fantastic. James.
As it always is.
Oh, speaking of wacko girlfriends, I really should not tell this story.
But we're
going to. But I'm going to anyways. James's ex-girlfriend, he unfriended her because she was crazy. She snuck into his house through his bedroom window while he was asleep next to the computer. She refriended herself.
What?
The next day or so, he sees that he's getting... And he's like, why am I still seeing her? So he messages her, and she goes, yeah, I refriended myself. How did you get this? I crawled in through the window while you were asleep and refriended myself on Facebook.
Holy
gosh. That's like that Lena, the overattached girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. It was so... He told me that. I was like, bro.
Yeah. Like, reassess.
Yeah.
Reassess your relationships.
I've got so many other stories I shouldn't tell, but I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah. Find a quality woman like Gina that just, you know,
cuts
dumpster
your
dives
tires,
for
cuts
Twinkies.
Your throat and bashes you in the head if she catches you doing some crazy.
Oh. Right.
just kidding, allegedly.
Well, let's start a date Gina page on the website.
Yeah. Gina's married.
Well, that's right.
Gina's complicated. I've actually been separated for a little over a year, so it's not like I'm... I don't know.
So, Josh, you still got a chance.
Josh has got a lady.
He's bringing over enchiladas to win your heart. By the way, Gina Martinez wearing a Wonder Woman bathing suit
that
to the podcast
happening.
Tonight.
Well, it's not like it's out. I went swimming today, and I am still in the Wonder Woman thingy. Woo!
Well, hey, let me just say...
Both of you viewing on the webcam are probably entertained now.
Yeah.
Many 54 on the YouTube. Check that out. So... all right, so what were we going to talk about next?
Time
Craig?
To segue into the Southern Avenger.
Yes, speaking of libertarians under attack, Jack Hunter, who is the Southern Avenger, former radio talk show host, ghostwriter to Rand Paul, well-known speaker, he is credited as bringing Creighton Harrington into the libertarian movement.
Wow.
Well, Creighton was a Republican.
Right.
A dirty, gross, icky Republican. And
a gays don't get married and abortions murder Republican.
Right.
Nice.
and he saw Ron Paul, was interested in him, and found some YouTube videos from this guy named Jack Hunter. And that's how Rand Paul discovered Jack. Jack is a very talented writer and speaker. You know, he is from South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, where he was a radio host. And in his youthful days of talk radio, some of us say things that we don't often mean.
Well, I mean, he was bombastic.
Let me just put it this way. If there were tapes of me on Abdul in the Morning, I would be very, very, very sad. Like, there were times where I'd look at Abdul and I say, do you think the Libertarians would have hired me as their executive director had they heard me on Abdul in the Morning say some of the things that I said? And it's because you are trying to ramp it up. You're trying to be provocative. You're trying to be a little controversial, a little entertaining. You're saying things that
are ratings whore-esque.
It's like you want people to be entertained and you want people to get mad. So you may say things that you do or don't believe just to be provocative.
Yeah.
That's the way that talk radio works. I mean, I'm not even from Indiana. I'm making stuff up.
He's finally coming clean about being Canadian.
It's the Great White Menace.
Yeah, it was a joke that was not going to work if I hadn't worked it out before. So, but anyways, you say things that you may not necessarily mean just because you want,
to stir the pot.
Right, exactly. So he made a few comments about James Wilkes Booth and what a
hero he was.
What a hero he was. God fearing man. What are some other things?
Well, I mean, one of the big things was that he is to know Jack Hunter is to know that he's very proud of his Southern heritage.
Right.
He didn't view the Civil War as an issue over slavery because Lincoln, if you look back, Lincoln supported Illinois' a policy of not allowing slaves coming from the freed slaves coming from the South into the state illegally. And then he supported, if you were a Southern state that allowed slavery, he didn't stop you from promoting slavery within your state as long as you fought with the Union. He was a little bit hypocritical in that aspect, and then he also suspended habeas corpus and then freedom of the press. And so Jack Hunter, I mean, he took an honest approach to Abe Lincoln. He's not going to buy into the honest Abe, let's read the monuments and the speeches he wrote. He wanted to look at him historically, and whether you view the Civil War as states' rights or not, or about slavery or not, he isn't going to be deterred from the consistent narrative that is promoted about our great American presidents. And so because he wrote about it, he's labeled as a racist. Essentially anyone that, though, advocates states' rights is labeled as a racist. That's the default setting.
Okay.
Gina?
I'm not sure that I agree with the thought that everybody who advocates for states' rights.
Oh, no, in
racist.
The media. Like, if you talk about states' rights, you are considered... No. I mean, you're portrayed,
like,
in the media.
I have a friend, Wilson Allen, who every time, you know, states' rights is mentioned, he mentions slavery. Mm-hmm. And how it was used to... Like, my great-great-great-grand... I'm German. They came over in the 1800s. So, like, we were after the slavery thing and before the Holocaust thing. So, like, my ancestors are clean. Like, so I don't have anything to do with that historically, nor do I have anything to do with it as an individual. I'm saying that I believe in states' rights because that's what the Constitution was written as. That's what I think the best form of governance is, as, and it has nothing to do with my views on slavery, because slavery's wrong. And we all agree with that, except for a few neo-Nazis and racist a-holes. So quit trying to use that line of attack, because you just sound like a total douche.
But right now we live in a time where, whether we're aware of it or not, slavery is at, like, its most rampant.
Yeah, it's
right
more
now
popular than ever, globally.
Right. I mean, sex slavery is an enormous issue. And that is something that, hey, Christians, you know,
right,
let me talk to my people for just 1 minute. Hey, Christians, can we get off the gay thing? You know, because the Bible, when you really want to get down to what the Bible teaches, it's not some sort of super sin. But you could get into the sex slavery trade and try and stop it.
Right.
Because I lived across the street from a sex slave massage shop, and I didn't even know it until it got busted up. Well, those girls needed help, and I wish I had been able to do something about it.
Like pay them a tip.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
That is so wrong.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Wow. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Wow,
I don't mean
I didn't
that.
I know that. Where was that?
Christians, please pray for Greg Lynds.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm just saying, there are things like that that are greater moral outrages than, you know, this focus on what has become some sort of super sin, you know, in the Christian movement. It blows my mind. I mean, so back to Jack Hunter. You know, and I really
Jack's a devout Christian.
Let's get off of this sex slave trade that Chris Spengel just said was important. Let's get on to Jack Hunter.
Right.
No, thanks, but it's important, Gina. Because now...
Sorry, but no, I mean, I think we were on a good path there. I think you're right. We need to get more involved and instead of tearing each other down, find ways to collectively work together to improve the world.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the goal of anyone who's got a vested interest in trying to promote liberty. It can't be... Well, like I mean, the liberty movement's guilty of that same argument. We talk more about why can't gays get married than we talk about globally the sex trade, global issues of women's rights in the Middle East. We don't talk about those things at all. We talk about why can't they get married? You know, I think both sides are guilty.
Why do you think we shy away from the things that are great moral outrages in our day and age?
Personally, I think that as a party, we tend to focus on things that are within our capabilities and responsibilities to fix. I think that our house is in such disorder as far as our party principles go that we feel, you know, morally compelled to fix that. But I do think the majority of the people, at least in the LPIN here in Indiana, would absolutely band together to help with things like international sex trafficking. We've just been putting our money to things like local governor's races and things where we feel like we can make the most impact. But it's not as though the two are mutually exclusive. I'm sure that we could absolutely rally this type of action.
We're not, but I think that the liberty movement ignores foreign policy from that standpoint.
Yeah.
We talk about we shouldn't sanction Iran, even though they treat their citizens like dogs and suppress freedom. In my opinion, it's sanctions. Yes. You starve the beast. You make it so it's so miserable to live there that you try to get the citizens to overthrow or you get the political leadership to leave. I feel like it's kind of Pollyanna to just say, who are we to say that we know best? No, absolutely. Humans are meant for liberty and freedom, and I don't shy away from promoting that. I want to apologize.
But you sound like George W. Bush. You want to interfere in the... you want to intervene in foreign policy by...
No. I said sanctions. I didn't mean
but sanctions. But sanctions, according to Ron Paul, are an act of war where you are interfering in another nation's ability...
Let them attack me. Let them attack me. I'll put sanctions
outside
on them. Come shoot me. That's the way I feel.
I would...
Or, you know what? I won't buy your stuff.
Here's what I'd say.
There you go.
I'm not for sanctions because I agree with Ron Paul. I would say you don't put sanctions, you just don't trade with them. Okay, so it's a lack of, you know, we as a nation find you immoral, so we're not going to do business with you. We're not going to buy your country's products, but we're not going to tax you or force other countries not to do business with you or trade with you.
And I grasp that standpoint, but I can guarantee you Russia and China don't have the same... believes in human rights and civil liberties that we do.
Well,
so they are going to trade. They already trade with Iran. They don't care. Do what you want to do to your citizens. Can you deliver us this product and this kind of access at this time? Let's sign the ink.
America has lost its standing as a moral leader in the world. I mean, Egypt exemplifies this better than anything else, and we've been totally exposed. You know, what we did up until Carter, actually Reagan ended it. We gave money and foreign aid to countries that were moral, upstanding nations around the world. And if you treated women, minorities, religious sects, if you were genocidal or you had policies like the Ugandan policy of killing gay people or... you know, what you see happening to women in the Middle East.
Even Saudi Arabia, our biggest ally over
there. Right. Saudi Arabia had a women's conference 2 weeks ago. Not one single woman was at the women's conference in Saudi Arabia.
Nope.
How ridiculous is that? So, you know, we wouldn't do business or trade weapons with countries that we found immoral or that persecuted one group or another. That changed with Reagan. Reagan changed the doctrine to... we're going to start dealing with countries that are in our interest. So if you are anti-communist, we're going to fund the rebels against you. You know, we're going to intervene in countries that we find that will serve our interests. So the outcome of that is Egypt. You see it directly. It is so clear in a place like Egypt, where they speak English, where they know English, where they have, the Twitterati, for instance. They march in parades with messages to Americans, where they are saying, "You are funding the people that are forcing our women into burqas, that are forcing Sharia law onto us, that are eroding our personal liberties. You're giving those people weapons. You're giving those people money. You are funding our dictators. You are funding the Muslim Brotherhood, the people that the Mujahideen was born out of. What are you doing, Americans? Don't you understand that your government is doing this?" And the answer to the people in Tahrir Square is no, we don't.
No.
The majority of us don't. And
pipe down, the Kardashians are on at 9.
Right.
Oh, so, God. Sadly, though, it's accurate for a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want to hear about politics.
Because it's in the Zimmerman trial, you can see who's right or wrong. You can see who's good or bad. You can watch it. You can follow it. You understand it. These are Americans. You understand what's going on. In Egypt, you don't know. The press doesn't know who is good or bad. The press doesn't know who we should back. The press, because the government doesn't know. Because the government can't make up their mind. So the press can't make up our mind. So we can't make up our mind. And so we just give up and we watch the Zimmerman trial, which is mostly completely frivolous. It's not Jody Arias territory, but it's getting there.
Right.
It
always becomes a circus, though. Every time they've got a headline, they run with it and take it as yellow as that journalism can get.
Right.
I mean, in America, we are very we don't watch foreign news. I mean, the newsies do, but the majority of Americans could care less what's on BBC or what's, they don't even click on a British newspaper.
I watch Al Jazeera.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and even Al Jazeera at this point has started to creep into like CNN territory.
BBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They all moderate as they become more mainstream and they can get more ad dollars. That's just the nature of the beast with for-profit news. But I don't know. I don't understand that, not to saying that I am a libertarian. I believe in the non-aggression principle, and I don't know. I'm not so arrogant to say that this is the right way to live. I just have the hardest time reconciling that without being proactive, and not through war, not through bombing, not through anything like that, but not consistently and over promoting and drawing attention any way possible to the rights that are, or the wrongs that are being committed globally.
Yeah. I mean, it, at a certain point we have to wake up and realize that we're part of the problem.
As Americans, we're hyper-insulated within our own borders. And I mean, it's valid to a certain extent. There's so much going on here that is out of control. There's so many ills that we need to address. I mean, our police forces are becoming damn near militant as far as their equipment and apparently their status of their modus operandi. And we do have to absolutely address that at home. But I think we touched upon something here tonight, because I don't think that we can afford to continue to ignore what's going on globally, simply because as big as our American egos might be, can I get in America, we're not the only ones, and the rest of the globe is physically bigger than us. We might have all the guns, but if we keep passing them out to people who would put us under Sharia law and have us all in burqas, then we're doing nothing but screwing ourselves and making sure that our liberties will be threatened at one point.
It's just as simple as screaming at the top of our lungs when our administration funds people in Syria who are cutting the heads off of priests, and we're funding people in Egypt who are slaughtering protesters and Christians and non-Muslims and, anybody who is not within a certain sect. We're funding people across the Middle East who are doing that. We're funding the very people that 10 years ago we designed the Patriot Act for. It just blows my mind that most Americans are not screaming at the top of their lungs that our government is giving weapons and money to a group of people who will cut the hearts out of one of their enemies and eat it, and broadcast that on YouTube.
That's like Kali Ma.
What?
Of, Indiana Jones.
What kind of evil are we as a government supporting? It's not even just about, you know, that isn't even about
pragmatism. Is a slippery slope. Right. That's the United States was founded on ideals. Granted, we compromised in order to get the union with the, you know, get the colonies to all agree with slavery, and that was our most egregious sin and our dark point in our history. But you have to be willing to at least stand for something. And when you embrace pragmatism, it merely becomes a game of how can we align interests,
right.
And then you're the devil.
Right.
The Libertarian Party is about ideals. A libertarian government system, and I know that'll make all the anarchists mad, but would represent the greatest of ideals of human freedom, where you would almost have an explicit Bill of Rights of humanity. Your government cannot do these things to you, and you really would be the shining city on the hill. Because once you go down that slope of pragmatism, why would you look at America as an example?
Yeah, when you're in a country, when you're in Afghanistan, and the American military is, not our soldiers, the military, and our government is making the choice to fund the corrupt police officers in that country, the people who violate their rights, just like we fund the people who flashbang and knock after 2 seconds or have a DUI checkpoint. We're funding the same type of police officer in Afghanistan, the tool of their tyranny.
Yep.
And we are responsible for their funding.
Yep.
And
as well as our own by way of forced taxation through our labor.
So, I guess we didn't find Jack Hunter all that interesting.
No, I find Jack Hunter interesting. I just think that this is way more interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I mean,
here, let's say this. Jack Hunter, we're with you, just like we're with Adam Kokesh, just like we're with the Libertarian Party of Tennessee.
Solidarity.
Now, on to fighting the man, because that is really what this is about. You know, when you look at what the LP of TN did, or what Kokesh is doing, or, you know, the fighting back that Rand Paul and Jack Hunter have had to do this week, Rand Paul's defense in the Huffington Post, written by Howard Fineman, stellar. He basically said, well, hey, I know you've called me a conspiracy theorist, so I'm doing an interview with you. What, you know, so I don't hold everybody's statements against them. But here's what it comes down to. We got to fight the man, Gina.
I mean,
can you fight the man?
Stick it to the moniosis. I got
right.
a bad case.
So we're ending support for an immoral government.
I mean, how do we start? We wake up. We got collective awakening amongst a group large enough to create a major change. And obviously, someone within government ranks is terrified of this happening, or we wouldn't have people like Adam Kokesh. Is that how his name's pronounced?
Mm-hmm. Kokesh.
Who is basically being, I mean, held in captivity in solitary confinement with the lights on 24 hours a day and no bedding, from what I've read, as a result of having too many friends on Facebook and having strong opinions. And it's especially disturbing to me that his opinions are, we need to preserve our liberties and freedoms. And that is enough of a threat for them to bring out the SWAT team and the helicopters. Why is that a problem? When we have someone like Edward Snowden, who is being treated as a treasonous spy because he's telling the American people your government is taking away your freedoms and liberties. What is the threat that the United States government is so concerned about if the people of our nation realize that we're being stripped of our liberties?
All of the media has presented Adam Kokesh as a Second Amendment supporter, and Adam Kokesh doesn't label himself as a supporter of one right. He calls himself a supporter of individual rights, of all the Bill of Rights. And yet the media labels him as a Second Amendment nut job.
Well, I have to admit personally that I assumed that he was a Second Amendment enthusiast as well.
Right, but why?
Well, exactly. I didn't have enough information on it. And when I see that his major protests involve carrying weapons and having weapons, that to me screams Second Amendment. But maybe that's just my ignorance.
It's also because you're reading the headlines. You're gleaning a little bit off of the
yeah.
news. Your perceptions are being framed. And see, if you listen to the show report every week here on WAL-radio.com.
Hey, I'm a subscriber. I just haven't clicked the button.
We will teach you how to filter out the BS from your news. Greg, while you ran off for a little bit.
I apologize.
The question is, how do we start fighting the man? How do we, what are the first steps that the people listening can do to, what are the steps people can take to fight a government that they consider immoral?
Well, I think there are a bunch of different ways to go about it. And I think the right way to go about it first is you try political change. And you elect politicians. It's not necessarily a politicians that swear on the Constitution, I agree, to uphold the laws of the United States. It is vetting your politicians for their interpretation of the laws.
And integrity.
Yep, and their integrity. Because more and more, what I see is America has gotten away from almost a strict interpretation of the Constitution and the laws to piling on and interpreting interpretations of interpretations of interpretations. And that has led us down a path of mediocrity and pragmatism and rights violations. So you have to, when you hear people like Tea Party or say, well, I believe in the Second Amendment and I believe in the First Amendment and all of them down, that isn't that they're crazy. It's they're not Adam Kokesh. These laws were written for an explicit purpose. Go read what the founders wrote for why we need the Second Amendment.
Right.
You needed it. You don't necessarily have to have it until it's absolutely necessary. It is the backstop. Is it even much of one anymore, given the state of war
exactly.
technology? Who knows? Now, if political change doesn't work, there's always more of us than them. There always are. What Adam Kokesh was doing wasn't so much to violently overthrow the government. It was more of a threat that, like a beware of dog sign to put our government on watch that we're out here, we're watching you, and we know what's going on. And so you can engage in those types of things, but you have to do it civilly. You can't be the angry the shotgun toting pointed at the Capitol building. Show up. Gandhi caused incredible change by civil disobedience right. without a weapon.
Okay, but here, let me challenge you on that.
Martin Luther King.
Let me challenge you on that because, you know, in the situation of Gandhi and in Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you had, it was just right in your face how wrong it was. Like, when you are at a situation where people are being lynched for trying to vote, right. or they're being beaten to death because they're born into a certain class, I mean, you have, it is easy to say that those things are wrong. In Egypt, you have broken promises repeatedly over the last year where you have a tightening of social restrictions. You have where they weren't there before. You have people making promises that they're going to make your economy better, and then they do everything they possibly can to wreck your economy. You have clear cronyism in Egypt to the point that everything is so bad and so wrong that millions, not thousands of, not even hundreds, will show up. You know, we had a protest on July 4th here in Indianapolis with Andy Horning, and maybe 100, 200 people showed up, and we just marveled at how great that was. I mean, we're talking about millions of Egyptians, the largest political protest in the history of man,
nice.
Coming out and saying, we're not going to accept your tyranny.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't look for it, you wouldn't even know it's happening, according to, like, the mainstream media.
Well, right. That's just an awareness problem.
So here, with Kokesh, don't you have to do something? Part of why I disagree with some of what Adam... It's not that I disagree with what Adam does. It's that he gives off the perception that he is one of those Ruby Ridge guys.
Mm-hmm.
That he lets himself, by the way he presents himself, Maya has the same issue, where Maya is one of the nicest, funniest, caring people I know. But Maya presents herself as a violent nut job.
On air.
On air. Okay, but off air, super sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. Nicest, you know.
One of the kindest people you could probably
yeah,
meet.
For sure.
You want to have Maya as a friend because Maya will come and pick you up at 2 a.m. and then murder someone for you, no questions asked.
And work her ass off if you need it.
Right.
For nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, but Maya presents herself in a certain way. Adam presents himself, it's a perception problem. He lets people perceive them a certain way. But part of the reason they do that is because that's how you get attention. It's provocation. It's what Jack Hunter was doing in the Stars and Bars Confederate flag mask. It's attention, because how can you get people's attention in this day and age when they are so damn comfortable?
Right. They're the first people to hit the wall of the movement. The civil rights movement had the same types of leaders, the abrasive, just purely for the sake of them not having any opportunities to go to the elite colleges, be extremely well-spoken. They were more of that fire-breathing Baptist minister style. They had those types in that movement, and they were the first one to the wall, and they were the ones that brought the awareness. Then Dr. King came in. They found their channel. They found their agent that moved the progress forward. And so that's what we're lacking. We're in the early stages. Adam Kokesh is the first one to hit the wall. I don't know who the next one will be, but the next leader will be the person that people have gotten the awareness, and they'll say, you know, this guy makes sense. He's a Justin Amash. He's a Rand Paul is playing the political game right now, and so I don't know that it's necessarily him. But an Amash strikes me as such a purist, he's not willing to play those games. He's willing to be the villain, but he comes across as so well-spoken, so smart, that there is no disagreeing with him unless you are just purely an ideologue for a certain political party.
Part of what Dr. King had, though, and that's why I think I know who it's going to be, Glenn Beck.
Oh, really? My.
No.
Okay.
I was going to say
I could not see Glenn Beck going the way of MLK.
I will say I listened to his Man in the Moon thing, and it was brilliant. But, you know, but he does talk about civil rights and how we're in a civil rights movement a lot, and he brings an emotional aspect to it. Dr. King had that same thing where it was good storytelling, great speechifying first, and then it was the righteousness of the message second. And that's what libertarians are missing. They're missing the storyteller. They're missing the emotional. I mean, you listen to a Dr. King speech, and it's poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the greatest speaker of all time.
Oh, his rhetoric was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, so, and that's what libertarians are missing.
But it's coming. It's just not there yet. You know, we are at the early stages of awareness. That leader will come from somewhere.
I mean, when Ron Paul is your movement's greatest spokesperson, we're in trouble.
Oh, gosh.
I love Ron Paul to death, but man.
He's your kooky grandpa.
Right.
All I can say is look up the curb stomping incident from a couple of years ago, because I went all kinds of crazy liberal hippie ape.
Gina, our next Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Gina Martinez will be our next movement.
She's got it all. Former Democrat, married to a Hispanic last name. She's a triple threat.
And she's eloquent and has a way with a phrase.
Yes.
Well, it's just, I will never be clean enough to not be at least the Malcolm X side of that debate. I'm sure I'll end up dead civil rights warrior. It'll just not be MLK.
She's prima donna Malcolm X or Mecca.
Gina Martinez, the Stokely Carmichael of We Are Libertarians. So, all right, let's wrap up. Let's give one final shout out to our enchilada carrier.
Yes.
Thank you so much. He doesn't want to come on the air. We tried to tempt him.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for listening, and thank you for stopping by. If you live in the Indianapolis area and you'd like to sit on a podcast, please coordinate with Gina Martinez what you will be bringing to us. We do require sacrifices. So let's finish up. Anything that we missed this week? Anything that you want to plug? Any story that you thought was really important? Greg Lenz.
I do. There was just one thing. Karl Rove appeared, I forget on what show, and he called Justin Amash the most liberal Republican that exists. And I just can't get over how the old guard won't die. They will not die. American Crossroads, his super PAC, him and Ed Gillespie ran, they spent $103 million, and they were less than 1% effective in electing the candidates they supported.
I would put money that Karl Rove is behind the Jack Hunter Rand
Paul
slam.
100%.
They went to a very established writer, Jennifer Rubin, at the Washington Post to cover it, and that's where the gas got really poured on this blog post by Elena Goodman at the Free Beacon.
Yep.
And Elena, you look at her Twitter feed, and she's so anti-Rand Paul, it isn't even funny. And I would bet you anything that Rove, somewhere deep down, is starting some sort of offensive.
Oh, sure. He wants to maintain relevancy within the Republican Party, and he's not. His candidates all lost that they were in support of. Anyone they tried to go against ended up winning. He is just desperately grabbing for relevance in the GOP.
He is desping?
Desping. It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid
it's
word.
It's a hybrid. It's an ethanol word.
Desping.
Okay. Gina.
Yes.
any? Would you put down your phone and pay attention?
I'm she sorry, farted, the by website's the way. Funny right now. I farted like a boss.
She That's did. I swear to God.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it's worse than a Maya burp.
I thought that was mittens. This is like the gassiest podcast on the face of the planet other than Rush Limbaugh's.
I'm just saying, Josh is across the room, and you guys were like balls deep in conversation when it happened, but his eyebrows and then his eyeballs and then like his whole hairline lifted when he realized it was me.
And do not look at me like that. You know that Rush Limbaugh does nothing but sit there in his big chair and fart.
This is my belief. One of these days, everyone will be stunned to learn that he has been playing a role of social conservative to attract the gray, the blue-haired ladies and the farmer men on their tractors.
The funniest thing I have ever read in my entire life was an Onion type article that suggested that Rush Limbaugh was a character that. Man on the Moon, help me. Help me with the names
Andy
here.
Kaufman?
Yeah, thank you. An Andy Kaufman character. So basically they implied that he was revealing to the world that this entire time he had been Andy Kaufman in like conservative political drag. And
He's been divorced 3 times. He's married to a young 31-year-old.
He was married to a CNN newscaster one time.
Yeah, he used to date the girl that writes for the New York Times that's always redhead. I forget what her name is.
Oh, he dated...
Maureen Dowd.
Maureen Dowd.
He dated Maureen Dowd.
Really?
Yeah, he dated Maureen Dowd.
Stop.
And then, I swear, and then Rush also got arrested for drug use.
Yeah.
Come on now. This guy's a libertarian. Until his audience dies off, he can't come out of the closet.
My favorite comment about Rush Limbaugh was George Carlin in one of his like late 90s comedy acts. Rush Limbaugh, doesn't he look like a guy who likes to lay down in a tub and get peed on? And I was like, you know what? He really does. All right, so Captain Flatulence.
Oh, wow.
Anything that you'd like to... we finally have a sex symbol on this show. She shows up in a Wonder Woman bathing suit and she ruins it.
I'm still trying to decide if it was a fart or if she had her third child.
Well, according to Pat Robinson.
Oh, Grandpa.
Oh, Grandpa.
Like, Grandpa... Pat Robertson this week said that he wishes there was a vomit button on Facebook. So every time he went on Facebook and saw two guys kissing, he could push the vomit button. Which begs the question, why does Pat Robertson have a lot of gay friends on Facebook?
Right.
Yep, exactly. I just love it when he predicts weather from Scripture. It's my favorite.
You know what I hate? When I go on Grindr and all these guys want to get down with me.
Really gripes my ass.
I'm looking for a nice twink. And then today he comes out and says that he's not anti-gay. It's like...
That was so phenomenal.
Yeah,
to me.
I'm not anti-gay. I just don't like to know that they exist.
Right, yeah. I just don't want, you know, never mind. I'm not going to repeat what I put
in
chat.
Why won't gays just be like ghosts?
But what does that say about our social climate that we've come to such a point in society where it's so unpopular to be a, I'm just going to say from my perspective, a bigoted, a homophobic individual.
I would say that,
Pat Robinson is like, oh, no, I never said I hate the gays.
It says we're all whores for money is what it says.
Right.
I don't care if you're cloaked in the Bible or you are cloaked in prostitution. We're all whores for money.
I think he's just defending himself from attacks. I mean, I would say that it is perfectly acceptable to have your beliefs in, you know, and be a Christian and have beliefs on what is sin and what is not sin. But when you go as far as Pat Robertson, where he's like saying that we're getting bad weather in Katrina because of gay people, that kind of moves you into the bigot territory. Like,
yeah,
just
yeah,
saying,
you cross
like,
lines for
you know,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
And interestingly, Rick Warren came out today, the purpose-driven pastor. He's, you know, one of the biggest churches in the nation. Rick Warren came out and said that it's not, you know, saying what really most Christians believe. Yes, gay people can go to heaven. And yes, it's not a sin to love other people, and it's not a sin to have urges. It just might be sinful to act on those urges. So I think he's speaking for what most people think. Pat Robertson is just, at this point, a laughable buffoon. And by most people, I mean most, like, evangelical Christians. That's generally what I have found to be the evangelical thought, that why are we turning it into a super sin? You know, where Pat Robertson is like... Listen, every time one of these gay babies are born, we need to send them to China. It's like, oh, dude.
I hope in hell it's him and John Hagee in a Latin dance club with sweaty men all over him.
Sweaty, sweaty men.
I hope it's him and Saddam and Satan from the South Park episode. Yes.
Oh,
come here, Pat Robertson. Who's my cupcake?
Pat Robertson, John Hagee, and a gerbil factory.
Oh, boy.
All right, Gina.
Yes. Things that I would add?
Yeah, anything that you'd like to plug? Anything that you'd like to add to the show? Other than
you know
hot
what I
air?
Do want to plug and add a little bit? Indie, locally. We've had some crazy things go down with violence lately, like 11 yes. shootings in 7 days or something crazy like that. Don't quote me on that. And honestly, by the time we get this to the air, there'll probably be four more at the rate that it's been going. There's a lot going on in the media about what we should do and how we should respond. And there's a lot of criticism towards Mike Pence, which is interesting to me because I really don't think Mr. Pence is going out and inciting these acts of violence.
He doesn't even like being in Indianapolis.
Right. I don't even think
he goes
there.
In campaigns in
Southern Indiana.
Lagodi.
Right. But my point is, I don't know that more police is the answer. I feel like more effective. And I'm just going to throw it out there. Parenting is the answer, and
community
more
watch.
Yeah, community watch, community centers. I really think that a tool that we're overlooking as a community are some of our not-for-profit agencies. Like, and I'm going to go ahead and plug Rupert's Kids here because he takes young men off and women who need assistance and puts them to work and teaches them a trade and a skill to help them improve their lives so that they're not just angst-ridden and sitting around trying to get access to weapons. And there are other organizations, too, like Recycle Force and others within the community that do great, wonderful things to reach out to the segment of population that it seems like has been more... I don't know. To me, there are better ways to respond to a stint of violence than to hire more police and have more authority, because that is just going to create a bigger problem in my mind.
And mine is, I would like to mention the fact that I was stunned this week when I learned that there are now more people on SNAP, the Federal Food Assistance and Food Stamp, than there are private employees in the United States.
Wow.
There are more people on government food stamps than are employed by private business in this country.
Wow.
I just don't even, like, I can't even get my mind around that.
No,
like,
it blows the mind.
Does that mean that there are so many government jobs in this country that, I mean, it just...
Well, isn't it Walmart who, like, 90% of their workforce has to survive on food stamps?
I don't know
stamps?
If that's an accurate fact. Did you get that from Think Progress?
Possibly.
I also was that like from Mal's Little Red Book?
I also like to make up my own statistics. Like, 85% of my statistics yes. come from scratch.
That's why Gina's podcast is labeled comedy.
Yes.
She's the onion of the We're Libertarians crew.
No, but I mean that. I think that, though, speaks more... more about entrepreneurship than it does anything. I think we have lost a lot of that risk-seeking behavior that we need to promote. And the big part of that is student loan debt.
Yep.
Because that is just a huge deterrent
and
to starting a company.
And that just tripled or something yep. crazy?
Well, they just today actually passed, we're recording this on Thursday, July 11th. They just today passed the revision. The Republicans actually outsmarted the Democrats for once in their measly lives and got a bill based on Obama's budget where he had said, this is how I want the student loan debt to work. And they wrote that bill, and then the Democrats opposed it, and then it got passed anyways. So they have stabilized and kept student loan interest rates from, like, tripling. They are on vacation. The Congress takes a lot of vacation. It doesn't mean they're not working. They go and do a lot of stuff at home.
Fundraising.
Right. But this Congress is basically now working Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's one of the reasons that immigration is dead, because they're by the time they get back in full time and full swing in October, then they'll start working on fiscal issues for next year. So immigration is essentially dead. They passed a farm bill today without food stamps. And I learned an interesting fact. There's a podcast from Jamie Dupree. And if you're a Borscht listener, you know who that is. He now does spots on Sean Hannity and Herman Cain's show. don't hold that against him, because he's the Cox Congressional Reporter, and he gives a lot of really great insights into what's happening in Congress every day on this podcast feed. And they put the farm bill and the food stamps together because city representatives didn't want to vote on farm subsidies, and farm representatives didn't want to vote on food stamp subsidies. So they put them together as a compromise, and now that's why you have them combined. So it's just sort of an interesting little tidbit into how Congress used to work together to screw us. So now they're screwing us separately. So you're getting it twice.
So now you don't get the group rate. You have to pay for the exclusive rate.
Right. On a personal note, we have launched the Advocates for Self-Government website. So go to theadvocates.org and check that out.
Yes.
We got several cool things coming down the pike, and we really revamped that. And go check out some of the other podcasts. So if you like what we do here, check out some of the other shows. See what fits your fancy. And also... here in the next couple days, we're not building a mobile app, but if you go to mobile.wearelibertarians.com, it's going to take you to essentially what you can. We've created an HTML5 Facebook or mobile app, so it's not in the App Store, but you can save it to your tablet, any kind of tablet or phone, and it will start acting. And I'm working with OnSwipe to customize it a little bit, make it cool, see if we can't get the podcast to stream out of there live. So check that out as well. So,
will there be any Snapchats from the Chris Spangle iPhone?
I can't. Yes, but you'll only be able to see them for 5 seconds.
Okay. All right.
So, and
I guess I'll sign up then.
Fleeting glimpses.
Let me tell you, that's all you're going to need, buddy. So it is one. I am quite good looking, Greg. And I say that with all seriousness. So, all right, hey,
yep,
Zimmerman, guilty, not guilty,
guilty as a motherfucker going to get off anyway.
Oh, he's 100% not guilty. It's not even
that's
close.
What I expected. Gina the liberal, totally guilty. Fry him. I'm down with the brothers.
I'm only going off of that expert doctor and then, testimony.
And then Greg, he killed him. Never mind. No, never mind.
Well, hey, where did my luchador stars and bars mask go?
Oh, boy. Well, this has been quite the show. You people are beautiful. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast. And thank you, Josh, for the enchiladas. We'll see you next week. Make sure you bring dessert.
Yep.
And as always, we promise next week
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.